Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie. And do you ever feel like you wasted a good opportunity? Because I sure as sugar did when I released all-purpose cultural cat girl Nuku Nuku and used that soundbite from Bakemonogatari, because I easily could have used that as the intro for this episode, which is on Kizu Monogatari, Koyomi Vamp. Now, I need to preface this by saying I dropped an episode to let you guys know that I am currently attending, quote-unquote, because it's virtual, the Fantasia Film Festival, and this is one of the titles that I really wanted to screen because I like the Monogatari series, even though I've only seen Bakke Monogatari, thanks to Shin Vibes. But I wanted to watch this. They were kind enough to send it to me. So this is just me talking about that. And let me tell you why it's a good thing that they were able to send this to me, and why it's good that this movie got made to begin with. So, like I said, Shin Vibes was the one who told me about the Monogatari series. He was also kind enough to send me a watch order, which is one of the worst things that you can send me, and one of the best. When I see that there is a long line of seasons slash series that are not in chronological order, like they weren't released in chronological order, it makes it really hard for me to want to get into it, especially with a long list like the Monogatari series, or the Fate series especially. But I gave Bakemonogatari a try, and I enjoyed it. Crunchyroll only had 12 of the 15 episodes, so I had to set sail on the grand line for the other three. And I'll be perfectly honest, to legally watch all of the Monogatari series, like every single one thus far that has been released, and I think they're done, I'm not sure. Well, probably not, because this movie came out. But if you want to legally watch all of the Monogatari series up to this point, you are looking at spending over $600, because you have to buy some of the series here. You're going to have to buy the rest of it. And I'm not sure that that's even all of the series, but you're going to find another part of it in the UK. So you have to get some from Crunchyroll Store, some from all of the anime. And you also, if you live in the US, or really anywhere, you're going to have to get a region-free Blu-ray player, which is going to cost you another over $100. So probably $800 after tax, maybe more, if you want to fully experience the Monogatari series. That's quite the steep price point, even for me. And as you all know, I am a collector of anime, but even I don't want to do that. So imagine my surprise when I realized that 210 of those dollars could be alleviated. Actually, no, you're probably looking at spending over $1,000, because I'm looking at this right now. It's closer to $1,000. But imagine my surprise when, after I set sail on the Grand Line for the first time in many years to watch the rest of Bakke Monogatari, I come to find out that Kizu Monogatari is technically the next one in line that you're supposed to watch. And when I requested this, without remembering that watch order, I thought that this was some brand new thing all the way out. So I thought I was getting another One Piece Film Red situation that was going to give me the courage to just go ahead and try and seek out the rest of the Monogatari series slowly but surely. But no, Kizu Monogatari is a prequel to Bakke Monogatari. And you have to watch Bakke first before you watch Kizu, even though Kizu is chronologically first. But here's why Fantasia Fest is great and what is so amazing about Kizumonogatari Koyomi Vamp. Kizumonogatari Koyomi Vamp is a compilation film that is made up of, like I said, $210 worth of three movies: Kizumonogatari Part 1, Teketsu; Kizumonogatari Part 2, Neketsu; and Kizumonogatari Part 3, Reiketsu. So $210 for three films, two of which are barely over 60 minutes. The other one is a little over 80. So, I mean, if you want to be a purist and watch the Monogatari series that way, be my guest. I 100% understand being committed to something like that. But I liked Bakemonogatari. I would definitely watch the rest of the Monogatari series, but I don't have that heart for it. So this was a great medium for me, being able to condense those three films into this one, which in itself is 2 hours and 24 minutes. And I'm okay with that. Honestly, I like how detailed this film is, which, mind you, and you have to take this with a grain of salt, having not seen the original three Kizumonogatari movies, I don't know what was taken out and what was left in. Apparently, this took the director 6 years to make. The director of Kizumonogatari, the original films, he worked on this for quite a long time. And it shows, because it's great, but I don't know the full extent of what I was watching in terms of what I may or may not have been missing out on if and when I decide to watch the rest of the Monogatari series. Well, fair enough. That's what you get with compilation films. And just this once, and maybe moving forward, because this one was so well done, I'm happy that this is the version that I got to watch, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. Now, like I said, Kizumonogatari chronologically takes place before Bakemonogatari. So in Bakemonogatari, you see our protagonist, Koyumi Araragi, who is helping these girls with their supernatural issues by going to his friend slash advisor, I guess, Meme, which it took everything in me to not read it as meme, but you know, it is what it is. And throughout Bakemonogatari, there's this little vampire girl named Shinobu, who you see every now and then drinking Araragi's blood, which obviously leads you to understand that she's a vampire, but in this world full of supernatural disasters, it's not that shocking once you figure it out. Well, Kizumonogatari is the ultimate boy meets girl, because it shows how Araragi met Shinobu, who, upon their meeting, is a 500-plus-year-old vampire woman with a large bust and a lot of missing limbs. I think three of the four, if not all four of them. Also, when they meet, her name is not Shinobu. Her name is Kishot Akerola Orion Heart Underblade, which a lot of people who respect her call her Heart Underblade. Araragi calls her Kishot. So, Araragi has two options. He can either leave her alone and go on about his life, or save her. And he decides to save her. And so she drinks his blood, and when he wakes up, he's in an abandoned building with her, but she's a little girl. And then here we come with the, she's a little girl, but she's over 500 years old. I don't know what to tell you. I don't make the rules. I didn't write the script. That's just what it is. And you know what? After all these years of watching anime, I'm just used to it. Just don't look at the bare butt when it's shown that one time for like 2 seconds. If you do that, she gets her adultness back, kind of. But I'm not going to go into that. Just know, there is, I would say, like a 6 out of 10 on the severity scale of fan service. Well, maybe a 5. And part of it does involve her. So just something to be aware of. I don't know if they even meant for it to be that way, but there's like a panty shot that lingers for probably far too long. And yeah, mind you, everyone is under 18, except for Meme, who, again, it's Meme, not Meme. But what happens is it becomes Araragi's mission to get back Kiss Shot's limbs so that she can become a big vampire again, you know, an adult, busty vampire woman thing. And really, that leads me to the only other problem that I have, because as where I'm at now, fan service, I'm so jaded, but I have a problem with this movie. And I'm sure that this is what they divided the 3 movies with. There are 3 people who have Kiss Shot's limbs. And what perplexed me is when she made Araragi a vampire, he is ridiculously strong. I mean, it's not necessarily a spoiler, because you know, going into Bakemonogatari, that she exists again and these guys aren't around. But they set dates for Araragi to fight all 3 of these guys. And I'm pretty sure she got jumped, because she has to be just as, if not more, powerful than Araragi was when she's in her complete form. And honestly, he probably could have taken all 3 of these guys at once. So that's my only problem with this movie, is that I don't understand. It's not like she could have been caught off guard. She has been doing this for over 500 years. But Araragi bodies all 3 of these guys easily. And they're fun fight scenes, but they're also a bit anticlimactic, especially the last one. But maybe that's just a me thing, and you'll be fine with it. But overall, I mean, it's enjoyable. And that's what I can say about all of this film. Aside from that one gripe, I did find myself enjoying this movie all the way through. It's almost 2.5-hour runtime. And really, I didn't see anything that had to be cut. It all seemed necessary, but maybe that's just because of my lack of knowledge of the Monogatari universe. But I really loved this for what it was worth. One thing that I learned from Bakemonogatari, but having seen it over half a year ago, kind of forgot, is that there are a lot of unique visual cues that come with watching any of the Monogatari series. So you have cue cards, you have scene cards, frame cards, you have this really cool blend. Like, there's an actual human skull, I'm pretty sure. There's photorealism scattered throughout this movie where it seems like they filmed something and then they put the animation over it, not like rotoscope. Like, there is actual film happening, or just pictures that they took. And I don't see that very often. So when I do, I'm very eagle-eyed about it. And in this case, the way that it blended with everything that they had going on, it just looked really, really cool. I was such a fan getting to see animation at work this way, which I don't remember seeing in Bakemonogatari, but then again, when you have something that's released, I don't know, 10 years later, I don't know when Bakemonogatari came out, but there are going to be advances, and if this guy has been working on this since after he released the initial three Kizumonogatari films, then it makes sense. Also, please don't quote me on that. I learned it on Reddit, just like I learned the watch order. I also really like, again, aside from my one gripe, I really like the writing. I like the character interactions. Obviously, Araragi, Kiss Shot, and Meme, they do a great job, but also there's Hanekawa, who is Araragi's friend, who we know from Bakemonogatari, but come to find out, he made friends with her during the events of Kizumonogatari. So it's just nice getting to see their friendship origins and how she tries to be a support in her own way and how she frames that for him. Really, it's character interactions that make this film as good as it is, because there's a lot of wit with all of these characters, and I really just enjoy seeing all of their banter, and it seems like there's a really good balance of the comedy and the sincere and the serious. There's never too much pull in one direction for me, so I'm quite pleased with the film in that regard as well. And like I said earlier, really, this kind of has changed my perspective on compilation films. I kind of avoided them because I always thought that I wanted to get the best possible experience when it came to consuming media, which to me was watching the original content. So, for instance, I watched all of Beyond the Boundary instead of watching Beyond the Boundary, I'll Be Here Past, which is a recap of the show before you watch Beyond the Boundary, I'll Be Here Future. But now I'm not as adverse to it. I might start doing it, or maybe I'll watch some shows and I'll also watch the recap film or the compilation film to see if it adds anything new to the experience. Because now that I'm thinking about it, using Beyond the Boundary as an example, there may very well have been some piece of information that they fed in I'll Be Here Past that maybe would have enriched I'll Be Here Future. So that's just something for me to think about from here on. I can't really say one is more right than the other, especially because all of us are different and we consume media differently. So I'm willing to give it more of a shot. And in this case, again, having not seen the three-part film series, only seen the compilation film, I can confidently at least recommend this to you. If you don't have access to $210 plus tax to watch the three-part film series, because this is just really good. It's a lot of fun, and it's just definitely worth a watch. This is not the last film that you'll hear me talk about from the Fantasia Film Festival, but so far, it's the one that I've had the most fun with, and maybe, no, I won't set sail on the Grand Line. I won't. But maybe... Don't give it up, Lupe. Don't give it up, Solo. Don't give it up, Nave. Don't give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. Stop. If you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. If you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider subscribing to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And really, just thank you so much, as always, for listening. It's always a pleasure getting to talk about films when attending a film festival. So this is just a welcome reprieve for me while I'm in the process of working on Volume 5, which it is taking me quite a long time. And I'm so excited to share it with you. But for now, this movie is awesome, and I hope you check it out. And thank you, Fantasia Film Festival. I hope y'all take care, and with that, I am out.